Welcome to Just Think, the podcast.
The podcast where we don't want to tell you what to think.
We just want to encourage you to do it.
We are three friends that came from across the political spectrum who were tired of partisan politics and were alarmed at what we saw happening in our country, including the growing political divide.
But we found as we challenged ourselves to recognize our own biases, to put them aside, we were absolutely united in our pursuit for the truth.
And that's why we started this podcast, to share the conversations we were having around that pursuit and to invite you into our conversation.
To encourage you to feel free to ask questions, search for the answers yourself, to say what you think.
That's right, because as we like to say, diversity of thought, ideas, and beliefs are welcome here. Asshats are not.
All are welcome as long as you just think.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
Today we are joined by another very special guest that we're so excited to introduce our listeners to, Dr. Kelly Victory. And we were connected to Dr. Victory through the Wellness Company, which is a company that we strongly believe in. We were introduced to early on, I guess around 20, right when it started, 2021, Kristen, maybe, or our friendship with Dr. McCullough, I think kind of connected us back to there. And we just love watching what the Wellness Company's been doing, and we are affiliates of theirs. So in full disclosure, we use their products. We believe in what they're doing and how they're existing to help us all change the whole medical model so that it works better for all of us and we can live in more optimal wellness and health. But let me give you a little bio for Dr. Kelly Victory. She's a residency trained and boarded trauma and emergency specialist. That might be important for what we're talking about today. She has over 30 years of clinical experience and is an expert in disaster preparedness and response and the medical management of mass casualties. Now, I know that many of you are looking in the headlines because you're reaching out to us and asking us, are you concerned? Are you worried? Of course, we saw after 2020, if you are awake and aware of what happened in 2020, and we don't even have time to go into all the lies you were told and all the fear-mongering and propaganda that was out there that caused people to probably not make the same decisions they would have had they not been under that kind of duress, starting with the vaccine and the mandates that were put on that vaccine. And now we know, and it is pretty much not even up for debate at this point, people were injured. People are injured from the vaccine. So we know that if they get away with this, these kinds of things will continue to happen. And so then what? Well, the Wellness Company is trying to stay in front of that by making these emergency preparedness kits, which we'll get into today. But they're also following the headlines and paying attention to what's happening in our world so that they can be kind of, they're on the lookout for what might happen next. And as predicted, I think several years ago, they said it's probably going to be the bird flu. And lo and behold, let me just run through really quickly with you guys. Just this morning alone, because I knew I was going to get to talk to Dr. Victory, I just want to give you several headlines. And these are like, all you have to type in is bird flu. And this is from the last 5 hours, I would say. Number one, the bird flu vaccine is made with eggs. That has scientists worried. More than 4 million chickens to be killed in Iowa after officials detect bird flu on farm. University of Pennsylvania creates mRNA bird flu vaccine. This is literally in the last 5 hours. Alpacas at Idaho farm test positive for, you guessed it, bird flu. Eastern Iowa dairy farmer says cases of bird flu in cows is alarming. The Guardian says an avian flu hops to cows and at least 2 humans. Now migrant farm workers are at risk. Okay, so tell us, Dr. Victory. Let's just start there. What's the deal with the bird flu?
Well, first, thanks very much for having me. I'm really delighted to join you guys and to talk about all of these topics, including, obviously, the kits that you were referencing from the Wellness Company. But I want to at least start by saying that the Wellness Company was formed, and I subsequently joined with them. They were formed not to become a provider of supplements or medications or kits. We were born out of the disaster that was the COVID pandemic response. and the egregious censorship and cancel culture, the absolute, you know, lack of critical thinking that was so pervasive. I was one of the very few, very outspoken people from the beginning of the pandemic, along with Dr. Peter McCullough and Harvey Reich, and really a handful of others. And we were kind of the lone warriors out there. So when Dr. McCullough founded the wellness company and had this idea, it was really to provide a platform and a haven saying, whoa, we have got to reestablish integrity in healthcare, integrity in medicine. Doctors who are willing to stand by the Hippocratic Oath and the pillars of medical ethics, because those things were lost during the pandemic. So subsequently, yes, we do provide these kits, and we can talk about those and what's in the individual kits and the supplements and the spike support. But really the fundamental construct on which the wellness company was formed was the idea of medical integrity and reestablishing the sacrosanct relationship between patients and physicians. So start with that. You are 100% right, Holly. It's hair on fire all the time. This is what the powers that be want. They learned very well from the COVID pandemic that a great way to manipulate people, to control people, to modify behavior is to lead with fear. Fear is not a good place from which to function. People don't make good decisions. So all of these hair on fire, you know, topics and headlines that you're seeing everywhere, I'm not saying we should ignore them. There is something there, but let's unpack it. Mm-hmm. Bird flu, H5N1, has been around since 1996. It was discovered in 96. We've had a number of outbreaks every several years since that time. Only, interestingly, about 850 total cases in humans since 1996. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's been a relatively high mortality rate in that 850. About 50% of those patients died. Now, what you need to know, though, is that those patients were in areas of the world that have very poor healthcare, mostly third world countries where they didn't have access to ICU care, for example, or access to the antibiotics that they needed to treat the bacterial pneumonia that commonly happens on top of bird flu. So bird flu's been around. It's almost entirely been a risk to people who are in direct contact with infected birds or infected livestock. Okay, bird handlers, people who are in direct line of fire. There's been almost no human-to-human transmission. And we aren't seeing that even with this current outbreak. Thus far, we are not seeing any human-to-human transmission. The two people in Texas who tested positive for it were in direct contact with infected cattle. And the only, by the way, the only symptom they got was pink eye, conjunctivitis. So they did not become significantly ill. Okay. Now, fast forward. What are the powers that be? What are the people controlling the puppet strings doing about all this? Well, as I said, and you pointed out, first thing they're doing is raising the flag of fear. Quick, everybody hair on fire. We better hope that they, you know, we get a vaccine and oh my God, we're going to be, you know, kill all the cows, kill all the birds. Okay. All of this. Couple things to keep in mind. Number one, they are doing gain of function research on this virus. Mm-hmm. We know it. The USDA is in a lab in Georgia. The University of Wisconsin is in Madison. They are conducting currently and have been for years gain of function research on H5N1. So although in the past it has not spread from human to human with any degree of concern, if it all of the sudden starts to do that, I can pretty much guarantee to you that the virus that's out there is the result of gain of function. Okay. It hasn't happened yet.
I can also say with certainty that the experts will be baffled as to how it happened.
Correct. Yes. There will be shock and awe and no one will be able to connect those up. And it hasn't happened yet, but put that sort of, you know, tuck that away. And that's, again, why we at the Wellness Company are being proactive about this and adding some things to the kits that would be useful against bird flu should it happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. We aren't seeing it yet. what we're saying is that the antidote to fear is information and preparation. We are not the fear mongers. The antidote to fear is saying, okay, let's not let them catch us off guard like they did the last time. Then this issue of, you know, testing, they are now, you know, two of the headlines you read had to do with mass testing. They are going out and doing exactly what we would predict they do to amp up the fear. They're doing PCR tests across the board on millions of poultry, birds, and millions of cattle. That this idea of shoving swabs up the noses, I guarantee you'll have an insane number of false positives, just like we did, by the way, with COVID.
Right.
And they will use these false positives as a way to both drive concern and fear, but also to justify culling of those herds. They are going to have a mass extermination of poultry, birds, and cattle if they have their way, which will then put some significant stress on the food chain, on the food system. You not only will see prices escalate, but it drives some of their other pet projects, like the climate crisis project and the getting away from eating beef and all eating animals at all, all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, the cricket burgers.
So there are lots of pieces going on. I know I just dumped a ton of stuff.
No.
So start with that and ask some questions.
Actually, I was just thinking she's nailing every single thing that we wanted you to start out with, because it is, you're really framing the historical precedent, and then showing people how to not get caught in it again, to not get caught up in that matrix, but then to just be, like you said, prepared, informed. And because they can't, the only way this succeeds, the only reason it succeeded is in 2020 was they had the populations doing their bidding. In other words, mandates weren't really enforceable by law. But you could have enough bullies in the public square that would make everyone feel that they had to comply. And so what we're trying to do is get enough information, get the right information out to the public. And guys, you all help us every time you have a conversation with another soul and you pass this information along, which you can also find in our Substack. It is free. Mm-hmm. You can pay or just get the free subscription. But we put everything that Dr. Victory is talking about, we'll have links to that so that you can see for yourself. And you could also share that information.
I also wanted to point out, and sorry to interrupt you, Holly, but I just didn't want to forget. I feel like this is also leading way, and I'm sure you can speak to this, for the mRNA vaccines in the animals, which we already know aren't going to work with the leaky vaccines. I remember printing that out. I even brought it. I found it because I printed this out in the beginning of COVID when I started looking at the leaky vaccines in chickens. And I'm like, so don't let them. This is where we really have. We've touched on this briefly, but we really haven't gotten to talk to anybody who's really speaking out. I know Dr. Malone has talked about this and Dr. McCullough as well, that they're putting mRNA vaccines in these animals. And now they're trying to find reason to do this. It's just like create the problem, have the solution.
And the solution.
And then kill everybody and then have more solutions that's going to kill everybody.
Right. And no, Kristen, this is a really, really important piece. It is so unwise to do these mass vaccination programs on poultry animals and on cattle. They've done it and it's failed. In part for the reason you say, they are what we call leaky, or what that means is a non-sterilizing vaccine, meaning just like the COVID vaccine, they give it to you, but it doesn't stop you from contracting the virus. It doesn't stop the H5N1 vaccines, quote unquote, that they're giving to the birds, giving to cattle, don't stop the animals from contracting the bird flu. So they get it and then they pass it to others, but it drives mutations. That's rather than a vaccine that actually prevents you from getting, or prevents the animal from contracting the virus. These don't. It drives mutations. And rather than just letting the animal get sick, develop natural immunity, we are harming them. They did this. The French did this. They vaccinated, quote unquote, mallard ducks that with these non-sterilizing vaccines, mallard ducks migrate. They have a long migration pattern. They cohabitate with other poultry, birds, and cattle, and they infect them. And this is a disaster. They are creating a disaster rather than just allowing this to run through the herd, run through the flock. Some birds will die naturally. The rest of them will develop natural immunity, and we can go on with our merry way. This is, we never, just like in COVID, I said from the beginning of COVID, we have, there's a dictum in virology and epidemiology, and certainly in vaccinology, we never initiate a vaccine program in the midst of a pandemic, and you sure as heck don't do it with a non-sterilizing or leaky vaccine. This is a recipe for disaster, and disaster is what they created. So you are, this is really important. Furthermore, we, although mRNA technology has been around for a long time, well more than a decade, I said from the beginning of the COVID pandemic, I think one of their key goals was to make mRNA a household word, to make everybody believe that, oh, it's safe, it's true, it's right, everybody does it, it's safe for, you know, it's safe for animals, it's safe for pregnant women, it's safe for, you know, old people, it's safe for everybody, and to make you believe that this has been well tested. That's not true. Have they tried it in the past? Absolutely. Every single time it has failed. Sometimes with disastrous results, where all of the test animals died, for example. Yeah. mRNA technology is still very experimental. We have lots of data and lots of data points that have not been obtained. You know, one of the many frauds that were perpetrated on people during COVID, of the many lies, and that's what they were, one of the greatest was that the mRNA would be eliminated from your body very quickly. That still exists on the CDC's website. They knew darn well that that was a lie. We've known it's a lie. The pharmaceutical companies knew it was a lie. They knew it went to every single organ system within a matter of hours. Alarmingly, 11% of the mRNA concentrates in the reproductive organs, specifically the ovaries and the testes. Mm-hmm. And there's no off switch. There's no off switch. That mRNA gets into every single cell, gives your body the blueprint, the roadmap, if you will, to create, in the case of COVID, this spike protein. So you are creating that in perpetuity with no off switch. We don't know what's going to happen when you give a bird, you know, a poultry, chicken, or a cow and mRNA vaccines. We have some idea of what's going to happen to that animal, but we don't know what happens when you ingest it. That's simply, we don't know.
It's not been tested as far as you know, Dr. Victory, right? Like, so they're ingesting these animals with something that could potentially harm us.
Correct. We know us. We know that mRNA, for example, is secreted in human breast milk. We know that it's secreted in feces. We know, you know, it's a question whether it's secreted in saliva or semen or these sorts of things. The answer is, these are the kinds of things that you would want to know before you start a mass vaccination program or a mass, you know, program of any sort. There is a reason that the average vaccine takes 6 to 8 years to come to market, if it ever makes it to market. There are a lot of viruses out there, folks, for which we have never created a vaccine. Think about herpes. Do you think we didn't try? Okay, a Coxsackie virus, norovirus, hantavirus, lots of viruses for which we would like to have a vaccine, but it's tricky business. The human immune system is the last great frontier of medicine. It doesn't always respond the way we think it's going to. And it takes years sometimes to understand that. So all of these things I'm saying, by the way, don't make me an anti-vaxxer. They make me pro-science, pro-data,
same,
pro-safety.
Yes.
Pro.
Yes.
We don't just randomly inject people with something that hasn't been fully tested. And right. When you do, you start to see the carnage that we are witnessing tragically from the COVID debacle.
Well, I think if everyone would just take a step back, for people who have an issue with, first of all, if you're using the term anti-vaxxer as a slur against another human being, you're part of the problem. I'm going to say that.
You're probably not listening to this podcast.
Well, but you're probably not.
Right.
Okay, you're probably not. But I will say this. It's if the what to me was the telltale sign that we were onto something when I first started looking into individual ones on the childhood schedule, starting with HPV. What I noticed was
right.
when I asked questions, I was shocked at the defensiveness and the almost attack, counterattack, as if asking the question was like the worst sin on earth. And then right. so when the response to just give me the information,
right.
when the response to just give me the facts and the science comes with an attack, it tells you they're hiding something.
Right.
And so 100%. That's why most of us are going, now, what else are you hiding? What else have you not told us? What else have you not studied? You know, I know for a lot of our listeners, when they found out that none of the vaccines on the childhood schedule were tested, given, and administered together, well, shouldn't they be if we're going to do it? Right? So these are the questions, like, again, to take the stigma off of the camps, but to say, let's all agree we need information and we should all get informed consent on anything we're eating, on anything we're ingesting, anything that's being shot to our arm. All of these things, we need as much information as possible, right, Dr. Victory? And we're not always getting it.
100%. I mean, this is, and the, first of all, you know, of the four pillars of medical ethics, autonomy is perhaps the most important. That pillar, the ability that you, you know, fundamentally, that means that you have the right to make all decisions with regard to your healthcare, what you take, what you don't take. And the idea that we're mandating or shaming or coercing or otherwise, you know, forcing people to end up taking something against their will is by itself evil and wrong and an absolute abdication of our medical ethics. It should never have happened. And by the way, physicians were complicit in this. This is not just sort of some entity out here, you know, the CDC, the FDA, and the pharmaceutical companies. Yes, they are all highly involved, but none of this could have happened without the participation of my own colleagues. Mm-hmm. And I am very clear about that. This is not the first time in history when atrocities were perpetrated on humanity with the participation of physicians. And I'm not just talking about what happened in Nazi Germany. I'm talking about what's happened in this country previously with the MK Ultra project, with the Tuskegee experiment. It has happened. So don't think for a minute that physicians are, you know, totally innocent in this. And I think without holding people accountable, you can absolutely guarantee that this will happen again. People will sort of do, I was just doing what I was told. I was following directions. Not good enough. Critical thinking has got to be returned to medicine and to healthcare. Mm-hmm. And what you ladies are doing, this is critical thinking. This is ask the questions. You have every right to ask the questions. You are obligated to ask. God forbid, if you have children, you are obligated to ask questions. You know, we have in the case of the COVID mRNA shots, they crossed a critical, you know, sacrosanct line in the sand. We never, ever in medicine give a drug or a therapeutic to groups of people on whom it was never tested. Yeah. That includes, in the case of mRNA, of these shots, pregnant women, lactating women, women trying to get pregnant, people who'd had and recovered from COVID. All those groups were specifically eliminated from the very limited testing they did do. If you'd already had COVID, you couldn't be in the test. If you were, you know, if you were pregnant, you were eliminated from the, they didn't test these shots. I can't even call them vaccines, this genetic therapy on these groups of people. Yet then all of a sudden they come forward and say, oh, safe and effective, nothing to worry about. And that's absolutely, it's disingenuous. It's dishonest. And it does not truly, as I said, it abdicates all of our pillars of medical ethics.
Well, so, I know that you were so thankful that you were one of the doctors who early on saw the red flags, that something something's not right, to have the courage to speak out about it. Dr. Victory, I want to first just personally thank you for that, because I remember very early on in the pandemic, and I wish I knew the month and date, but I stumbled upon Dr. Gerrit van den Bosch, who was a vaccinologist and also a veterinarian who had worked with the Gates Foundation, you know, previously. This is not an anti-vaxxer.
Right.
He is screaming from the rooftops. I actually found him on LinkedIn and we conversed. He is trying to warn everyone, hey, You can't do this in the middle of a pandemic. It's just going to create superbugs. It's going to kill people who take it. No, the words were so strong, like chills went up my back. And I remember thinking, I hope he's wrong. I hope he's wrong. Yeah. But something in me also knew, oh no. Oh no. Like it was an ominous feeling. Of course, what did the media do? They shut him down. They took him off his platforms, deplatformed. They tried to silence him. Thank God it ultimately didn't work. They couldn't silence enough of you. But it was shocking to me how many doctors had no courage. No courage.
Right.
And it still makes me angry if you think about it.
Right.
But I want to thank you for yours. And I want to ask you along those lines. He predicted a lot of this. What are you now seeing on those front lines? What are the consequences of the mRNA vaccines?
Well, I think it's irrefutable that we have seen tremendous harm from these. Not only, and hopefully everybody who's listening to this now understands that even the people involved acknowledge the vaccines do not stop you from contracting COVID. They do not stop transmission. And the data show they do not actually decrease your risk of hospitalization or death. So other than that, they were great. There's that. So complete total fail in terms of, but the harms, there's no question we have seen an unprecedented increase in incidents of cardiac injury, specifically myocarditis, but a lot of other cardiac injuries. And by the way, there is no such entity as, quote, mild myocarditis. Inflammation of the heart muscle, by definition, is always serious. It always has lasting effects. It may take years down the road, but it is a very, very serious problem. Dr. McCullough, who's, a very active cardiologist, said that, previously he would see, a case a year, maybe. Now he sees multiple cases a day.
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
The incidence of sudden cardiac death, very, very real. We have never had young, healthy athletes dropping on the field like we have during COVID. In the United States, not just soccer players around the world, but Damar Hamlin and Bronny James and on and on and on. These cases are horrific. And there is no such thing, as I said, as mild myocarditis. Increases in cancer rates, huge. off the charts. Yep. What people have termed turbo cancer is a very real entity. They are cancers that are incredibly aggressive, do not respond to the normal treatment course. We're seeing cancers in groups of people in whom we don't normally see them. Cancer is largely previously a disease of the very young, the childhood cancers, leukemias, and those sorts of things, and of those people over the age of 60. We are now seeing aggressive colon cancers in people in their 20s and 30s, aggressive brain cancers, lymphomas and myelomas, bloodborne cancers, squamous cell cancers of the mouth in non-smokers. I can tell you my entire career, I had never seen a squamous cell cancer of the mouth or tongue in a non-smoker ever, or a non-tobacco user, somebody who didn't chew tobacco or smoke ever. None of my colleagues had. Now, in my own close circle, I have five people, non-smokers, never smokers, never with squamous cell cancers of the tongue. This is not coincidence, okay? And by the way, if you doubt me, and I would put this out, I would happily sit down with Anthony Fauci or Redfield or Bright or anybody else and say, okay, if it's not the vaccines, if you doubt me and say it's not that, great, what's your theory for what it is?
Yep.
Because we are obligated. The data are out there. The data are irrefutable. We're seeing these incidents. Okay. If it's not the vaccines, let's talk about your theory about what it is. What else changed? Because I not only believe it's the vaccines, but I can give you a handful, a litany of mechanisms by which it would be the vaccines. It's starting with the impact that those vaccines have on the immune system.
Yeah,
that's right.
Your first defense against cancer is your immune system, your God-given immune system. I hate to break it to you. We all, including the four of us sitting, all have cancer cells in you right now. Yeah. You have abnormal breast cells, abnormal colon cells, abnormal skin cells. They're out there. And the job of a healthy immune system is to see that abnormal cell and go, oh, that doesn't look quite right, and gobble it up. That's what it does. And that cancer never takes hold and it never becomes anything clinically significant. When you suppress your immune system, when you harm it by these vaccines, when you cause it to not respond normally, all of a sudden that abnormal breast cell, that abnormal colon cell gets ignored. Yeah. It gets ignored. And all of a sudden, it becomes a cancer that you would never have had your immune system been working properly. So there's no question, not only that did these mRNA shots cause an increase in IgG4, which is the immunoglobulin that we're all supposed to have a little bit of. It's the one that tells you to ignore things that are foreign. It's why you're not a wheezing, sniffling mess, you know, when every piece of cat dander or pollen comes along, because your IgG4 says, oh, Holly, that's just a piece of pollen. You don't need to have a freak out. Okay. When your IgG4 levels get abnormally high, which is what happens after these injections, all of a sudden your body's telling you to ignore things that it shouldn't ignore, like that abnormal colon cell, that abnormal skin cell. So this is real stuff. This is not, you know, my impression that we're seeing this. We have the mechanisms. We know that these shots turn off the P53, which are the tumor suppressor cells. We know that the mRNA injections impede DNA's ability. Your body has a way to repair DNA and genetics that get, you know, broken or messed up. We actually have repair mechanisms. Those repair mechanisms have been subverted, have been suppressed. Mm. So the cancer, unfortunately, I think we are seeing only the tip of the iceberg. I believe cancer rates are going to continue to escalate over the period of the next 5 to 10 years as a direct result of what happened with the mRNA shots. And then we see there's a whole host of things that would fall into the autoimmune category. You know, it's everything from multiple sclerosis to Crohn's disease, psoriasis, asthma, allergies, all of those things, again, because of the harm that the mRNA shots have caused. We know that the spike protein is the toxic element of COVID-19. That's the thing that causes or has a propensity to lead to a blood clot, for example, and inflammation. So why in the world would you want to keep creating that toxic thing in perpetuity? Really bad idea, right? You know, but that's what we've done.
And put it in a vehicle that will cross the blood-brain barrier or anywhere it wants to go.
And by the way, Kristen, the lipid nanoparticles, lipid nanoparticles, the little fat globule, if you will, that encases the mRNA and allows it to get where it's going, the lipid nanoparticles themselves are toxic. We've known for decades that they cause fertility issues, neurologic issues, and can be cancer producing in some people. So the lipid nanoparticles themselves, independent of the mRNA, can cause problems.
And let's talk about too, I mean, I think that's a great segue. So we know that with the vaccines, we're seeing, as you said, you can even explain partially how some of this is, how the vaccine contributed to all of this escalating. For those of us who got it naturally, we did not get a vaccine. We contracted COVID. So we got the spike protein. Our bodies fought it. What's weird for me too, Dr. Victory, is everyone I know that has had COVID so many times now, they were vaccinated. It's strange to me that those of us who didn't, I know I had it once, and I think I maybe had it a second time in Europe last summer, but it lasted 3 days. It was over. It was like a very brief thing, but it was when the next little outbreak happened. So what's the difference? And then I'll go ahead and tell you the next question is, and then how do we all kind of try to protect ourselves from what could come from having those spike proteins?
Well, great question. And Holly, by the way, it's not just your perception that the vaccinated are the ones who are getting COVID 67 times. The Cleveland Clinic did a huge study, more than 50,000 patients, 53,000 patients. And they showed in their study very clearly that the more vaccinated, quote unquote, you are for COVID, the greater your likelihood is of getting it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this was counterproductive. It not only didn't prevent you from getting it, it enhanced your likelihood of getting it. We've known for decades, natural immunity is always trumps vaccine induced immunity for everything. So, getting natural immunity really was the win. The difference when you get infected, yes, when you get infected with COVID, you do get those spike proteins in you, depending on how much of a viral load you have. And that spike protein is toxic. We know it can lead to blood clots, lead to neurologic injury, lead to myocarditis, lead to fertility issues. The difference is when you get a virus, the healthy immune system clears that virus in a matter of days. You eliminate the virus and with it, the spike proteins. So can you have lasting effect from it? Absolutely. Many, many respiratory viruses can cause what they are calling long COVID. We used to call back before COVID, we just called it post-viral syndrome. Mm-hmm. Influenza can do it. Mononucleosis can do it. Epstein-Barr can do it. Many viruses in a certain percentage of the population, relatively low, probably less than 5% of the population, can end up with what we call post-viral syndrome, where you have lingering effects for a period, sometimes 6 to 9, 12 months afterwards. Not common, however. Most people clear the virus very quickly. I had COVID, I cleared the virus, and with it, I cleared the spike proteins. In contradistinction to somebody who's been vaccinated, quote unquote, you have the code. Your body every day, cranking out more spike proteins, cranking out more of those toxic spike proteins. At this point, we don't know how to turn it off or if it turns off by itself. As I said, these are the kinds of things you would want to know. We should have tested. And the only way you can know that there's no substitution, unfortunately, in vaccine research, no matter how much money you throw at it, no matter how warp speed it is, no matter how much resource you throw at it, there's no substitute for time. The only way you're going to get 24-month, 36-month, 48-month safety data is to wait those time periods.
Right.
I don't care how much money you throw at it. You can only get 72-month safety data if you wait the 72 months. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to fast track on this. And I'm sorry, because I know people's hearts were in the right places, but you are playing with fire and you cannot substitute for time when it comes to something like this.
But see, now their time is everybody right now is the extended experiment. They don't know. They even said themselves, right. I don't remember who it was, but it was in one of the CDC meetings or ACF when they were even talking about the children. They're like, we really won't know until we vaccinate.
Correct.
I mean, what? Basically, that's their thinking, y'all. That's their thinking. And that's just what's, and like, once again, we're not trying to instill fear with everybody. But when people come with the argument, oh, it's long COVID. Yes, people can have long COVID. You can have the spike from the illness, but why go inject yourself with billions of spike protein if it's already not going to protect you from getting the infection too, several times, or transmitting it, and it has so much more. So the best advice right now, you can't change what you've done, but what can we do to move forward? And just by all means, of course, we can't be giving medical advice, but I feel very confident saying, please don't get another one of those freaking things.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, if you've gotten one, don't get two. If you've gotten two, don't get three. If you've gotten three,
no,
I mean, stop. And by the way, the study that needs to be done is the one where you take people like myself who had COVID and recovered, and look at people. Let's look at people who believe that they have long COVID, and they're out there. Mm-hmm. But let's compare people. How many people who have long COVID are not vaccinated? There are some, but they're not a lot. The vast majority of people who believe or have been told that their symptoms are, quote, long COVID, I believe are actually long vaccine. They are vaccine injured. And unfortunately, their physicians and the medical community at large does not want to acknowledge that for some obvious reasons. I mean, if you're the doctor who promoted these things and now your patient's injured, you certainly don't want to think it's from that. You want to believe it's from having had COVID. Right. So there's a lot of cognitive dissonance here. Mm-hmm. I do think that, I'm a big believer that we can't just, those of us at the wellness company, but even before I joined with them, I was saying, look, yes, we need to expose the truth to people. Yes, we need to hold people accountable. But at the same time, we need to find solutions for all these people who are harmed.
Yes.
And so we are in the, we are problem solvers. So we're looking for what are the solutions. As I think you referenced at the beginning, Holly, that we have this spike support product at the wellness company. It has three components. Mm-hmm. They are enzymes. The spike is a protein. So part of the problem is we're trying to come up with how can we help your body to eliminate that protein. Well, one of the ways to make it easier to eliminate is to break it into pieces, mm-hmm. to break it down. That's what enzymes do. They break proteins down. So the spike support formula that we have includes three things. Nattokinase, which is an enzyme that's created from the fermentation of soybeans. Many Asian cultures have been eating it for the time in memoriam. It has a very mild blood thinning property to it, but very, very safe, has some other cardiac protective effects. So nattokinase. The formula includes bromelain, which comes from the pineapple family of plants. It's another enzyme that has been shown to be helpful in breaking down the spike protein. And then curcumin, which is derived from turmeric, from the spice turmeric, the yellow spice. It has anti-inflammatory properties, and then also has been helpful in eliminating the spike. So those three things together, very safe. Very, non-prescription, and can help both people who have vaccine-related issues from the spike, but certainly anybody who may not be vaccinated and has, quote, legitimate long COVID, that they have a post-viral syndrome. So I would suggest that.
Perfect.
And then the other thing that, I'm a big believer, obviously, I coined the hashtag facts, not fear in early 2020. I am the anti-fear monger. I believe that I'm a trauma and emergency specialist. I, do big disaster management, and I'm a firm believer that the antidote to fear is preparation and information. Mm-hmm. And so given what we know is going on and what happened with COVID, and certainly, you know, the flags they are raising with regard to disease X, I suspect disease X is going to be the bird flu. Again, I'm not reading the tea leaves. I'm reading the dang billboards they've been putting out there. They couldn't be there. They're not exactly being subtle about this. It's coming. It's coming. And, you know, they're all a titter about the new mRNA shot. And I'm suggesting instead that you arm yourself with some of the basic supplies that you would need to fight this, to fight another pandemic, whether it's bird flu or whatever else is down the road. The kits that we've put together, to be clear, include a combination of prescription medications and over-the-counter medications. Mm-hmm. The reason we've done that, and I, perhaps unlike some of the other physicians at the company, if you'd asked me 5 years ago if I thought it was a smart idea to make available to people a bunch of prescription medications just to have on hand, I would have said, no, that's ridiculous. We don't do that. We don't just write random prescriptions for people to keep just, quote, just in case. I've done a 180 on that. Mm-hmm. I lived through COVID. I saw what happened. We had safe, inexpensive medications to treat COVID, but they wouldn't let us get them to you.
That's right.
I, as a physician, in 30 plus years as a physician, have never had an experience where I wrote a prescription and the pharmacist refused to fill it. I wrote a prescription and the hospital said, no, you can't do it. Or I'd have a hospitalized patient and the hospital said, no, we're not allowing you to use this. I will not stand by idly and let that happen again, and neither will my colleagues at the wellness company. So what we have done is put together a thoughtful group of medications, including some of the basics, some of the words, you know, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, generic Z-Pak, azithromycin, budesonide, which is a steroid. Some of these medications that we know are highly effective against COVID, and we have every reason to believe they will be highly effective against the next virus, respiratory virus, including H5N1. We know, for example, good studies showing that H5N1, the bird flu, is very treatable with chloroquine and its analog, hydroxychloroquine. So we are not suggesting that everybody panic, stop stockpiling, you know, baked beans and toilet paper and, you know, have, you know, a closet full of drugs. I'm simply saying, why would you put yourself in a position to be held hostage?
Right.
And that's what it was, to be held hostage by a system that is corrupt, that is being led by people with nefarious intent. Rather than saying, I'm going to have some of these things on hand, because unfortunately, the only way these medications really work effectively, none of them are 100%, but the only way they work effectively is if they're taken early. Mm-hmm. You don't have 10 days after you get bird flu or 2 weeks after you come down with COVID to see if you can find someone to fill a prescription for ivermectin. You mm-hmm. need to have it. And you need to have it so that you can start it. So that's really, you know, my philosophical explanation of why we have done this. It was interesting. There was a hit piece written by a, quote, investigative journalist recently named Jordan Schachtel, who wrote and said, you know, why that we are being unethical at the wellness company for putting together these kits that, you know, gouge people on the price because, and he went out and he said, you can simply buy all of these medications at CVS or Walgreens, you know, for a fraction of the cost. It would cost you half of what they're charging. And I actually reached out to him and he refused to talk to me, but I reached out to him so much for the investigative part of investigative journalism. I said, at a minimum, Jordan, I said, why don't you go out and get all those medications on your own?
Yeah.
Show me how that works. I said, I'll give you a week. Show me how that works. You go get a prescription for all of those and put them together for half the price, like you said. Because the reality is this, you can't do it. you can't. Doctors won't write it.
Yep.
You can't just go and say, I'd like a prescription for ivermectin to have on hand. Yes. They won't do it. And we are trying to avoid that because so many people were harmed for lack of access to things that would have saved them or their loved ones. And I know because I was involved in it. I tried to get it myself for patients. I tried to get it into hospitalized patients. And instead, it was, no, you can't do that. It was all about, you know, remdesivir at $3,000, of course, and Paxlovid and these other medications that are failed, but were making somebody a heck of a lot of money.
A whole lot of money. And that's the other thing, too. I think that what we hope everyone understands, go read The War on Ivermectin by Dr. Pierre Corey. He will take you through, and it's an easy read. I really love his voice in this. You know, it walks you through how they did exactly what Dr. Victory's just saying. And that was really what woke a lot of people up. It was like, this has such a high safety profile. Meanwhile, Gilead Science has Paxlovid, which is killing people in the hospital with side effects. I mean, I'm going to say that loosely, but I'm pretty sure that was happening.
Remdesivir was killing people. Paxlovid was pretty much useless in my estimation. It caused rebound, 100%, Amy. 80% of the patients, you know, got well for 3 days and then got, you know, sick again. But remdesivir as a toxic drug had failed previously for other applications, and they tried to dust it off and, you know, use it again now with COVID, and it was failed. And by the way, with these kits from the wellness company, again, we're not asking you to fly solo. You get the kit. There's not only a guidebook in there, but we are available for a telemedicine visit at any time. You can talk just like this face to face with one of the physicians. If you're wondering how to take one of the medications, if you should start taking it, we're not saying, you know, here you go, good luck to you. You're not on your own. You've got the support of the people at the wellness company. We simply believe that it's in your best interest to think about having some of these things on hand. And then again, if you're out away from home or, you know, traveling, God forbid, internationally, the last thing you want to be doing is trying to find an urgent care or a pharmacy or a doctor if you come down with something as simple as a urinary tract infection or a sinus infection, or you cut your leg at the beach and you're thinking, I don't want this to get infected. We've got the medications in there so that you are not beholden or at the mercy of a system.
Yes. That's right. I was looking at the, because I had a friend reach out and say, which kit did you buy? Which one? Do I do the medical emergency kit or the disaster kit? And I said, well, I'm talking to you. I said, I'm talking to Dr. Victory this week. So I'll ask her, but you really just explained the first one that you mentioned, which I think one of them, it's the medical emergency one, has amoxicillin, which would be for an infection, right? Which the one that you said addresses the bird flu, the contagion.
The contagion kit includes the hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, the Zithromax, and importantly, budesonide with a nebulizer. Budesonide is a steroid. We have the thing in there that allows you to aerosolize that so you can breathe in the steroid. Inhaled steroids are very, very helpful in the case of a bad respiratory virus. Mm-hmm. And so again, these are things that have broad application. They aren't just for bird flu or just for COVID. We have reason to believe, you know, that based on clinical science, that they will be applicable and will help given in any number of things, influenza, bad influenza outbreak. We've included oseltamivir, which is the generic of Tamiflu, again, a drug that isn't anywhere near 100% effective against influenza, but if taken early, it has some modest impact. If you don't have these things, you can't try them and take them. If you're scrambling when you're sick or your loved one's in sick, you know, wheezing, high fever, coughing, you know, those, that's not the time to go out and try to be finding these things. And that's really our purpose. So again, I reject anybody's contention that we are fear mongering. We're doing the opposite. We're saying, don't be afraid. Don't let them do that to you again. Don't let them make you feel that you are under the thumb and you can only do what they tell you you can do. You can actually be proactive. You can be empowered. You can be your own advocate and know that we've got your back.
Thank you.
And I can't tell you how much I spent on ivermectin over COVID because we couldn't go to just any pharmacy. This is a cheap drug that, I mean, I spent hundreds of dollars
on several
prescriptions so that from a compound pharmacies had to find the person that would do it. It's doing it on the DL. Yep. And it saved a lot of people. I would pay. Right. It was like, you can't put a price tag on that. So that's where you have to think like that. And I also want to make one more point. When you were talking about the viral load, that's important for any viral illness. And I think it's also important to remind everybody to be doing your nasal washing.
Yes.
Because it all starts here.
Yes.
And here, you know, so just make sure you're, you know, if you're around a lot of people, and even if you're not, just wash your boogers out. Wash your nose. That's going to, immediately stop it at the source. That's where it starts. So if you reduce the viral load, it's going to reduce your symptoms overall and reduce transmission. That's simple, cheap, and effective.
Yeah, 100%. And thank you for reminding me because I had failed to mention that. Nasal sprays and gargles, really important. Again, not just during the bird flu, not just during COVID, all the time. That's how these respiratory viruses get in. They get in through your nose and through your mouth. Okay. And if you can kill them off before they ever make it into your respiratory tree, then, you know, you've done a few drops of povidone iodine in, you know, salt water sprayed up your nose. There are many commercially available. We've got them on our website. You know, we have links to them, but, X-Clear is one. There are multiple out there, but super easy to do. Gargles and nasal sprays.
Yep.
Yes. So you guys can go to twc.health. Go check out the Wellness Company. We talk about them quite a bit. If you guys have not, go do that because you can find so much information, but again, also memberships for, as she said, you can even do these, you get some of the virtual doctor's appointments and things like that through the Wellness Company. And again, we all learned, it's just like when Dr. Victory said, you did a 180 on giving prescriptions ahead of a sickness. And I would have been the same way as you. I would have said, why do you need to do that? Well, now we know if there's a shortage or they start forbidding certain drugs from coming out, you need what you need. And I think it's so great. We all keep these on hand now. I'll be honest. Yes. Chris and Amy and I, we're stocked.
Right.
Because we learned and we were able to help other people get well too. But we have a code too. So if you go to twc.health and then /justthink, guys, I believe there's a discount for you available there. So definitely go check that out. Go get your medical kits. And of course, if you have any questions, you can reach out to them. They're always great about helping you figure out what you need. And Dr. Victory, thank you for your courage. Thank you for your voice. Yes. Thank you for all that you're doing to help us all not live in fear, to live with facts and information and preparedness. We are so grateful for doctors like you. We can't thank you enough. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you for what you guys are doing. It's very important. This is all about getting information out. We've never seen the sort of unprecedented censorship that we saw during COVID. And so it's platforms like this one that really make a difference. This makes a huge difference. Don't think it doesn't, because otherwise people are just reading the regurgitated narrative from the mainstream media, and that's not going to help anybody. So thank you. Appreciate
it. Thank you. That was awesome.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Bye.